This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. We're talking about the annual Global Health Symposium that's coming up next month in Madison. Joining us is Dr. Jorge Osorio. He's director of the UW-Madison Global Health Institute. Dr. Osorio is also a professor in the Department of Pathobiological Sciences in the School of Veterinary Medicine, and he will be the keynote speaker at the upcoming symposium. Also with us is Dr. James Conway. He's the director of the UW-Madison's Office of Global Health and the School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Conway is also a professor of pediatrics at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, and he will be the moderator at the symposium. Why is global health important to you? Are you planning to attend the symposium? We want you to be part of the conversation. So give us a call at 800-642-1234 or send us an email. And the address is ideas@wpr.org. Well, thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Jill, for having us.
You bet.
Yeah, great to be with you again.
So let's just start off. You have some interesting titles, gentlemen. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your work and your work here at UW. Dr. Osorio, why don't you go first?
Oh, thank you, Jill. So, yes, I'm very fortunate that in the past year or so, I'm now the director of the Global Health Institute for UW-Madison. And this gives me the great opportunity to interact with many schools and colleges and campus and really have a great opportunity to take the Wisconsin idea outside of Wisconsin and outside of the United States. We have so much great work going on at the university that we can really make a big difference in the global health picture. And I think we learned from COVID that we need to have all the solutions to impact the world.
Dr. Conway?
Yeah, you can call me Jim, Jill. Okay. You know, it's good to be here and to be back on Larry's show. You know, I'm a professor in pediatric infectious disease and have worked much of my career helping develop and, more importantly, make accessible vaccines for children globally. And I've also had the privilege, since I've come to UW over the last 18 years, of helping to really develop educational programs to develop the next generation of leaders. And so I've worked across campus really helping coordinate educational programs. You know, we really have a remarkable campus here, one of the four campuses in the entire world that has a vet school and a med school on the same campus as the rest of its land-grant university. So we've got really unique opportunities to develop collaborations, both around research and outreach, as Jorge mentioned, but also around educational programs. And so my current role has been really overseeing the health professional student programs and helping them understand and learn how to work together to solve these global problems.
So we talk about global health, but what actually is the definition of global health? Which one of you guys want to take that? Jim or Dr. Jorge?
Yeah, we've probably both got opinions. I mean, it's sort of like the blind man and the elephant. Everybody's sort of got a piece of it. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things we've been talking about over years is how public health becomes writ large when it becomes global health. People talk about planetary health, where there's a sort of a more focus on the environment and climate. And, you know, we've kind of moved into this sort of overlap between global health and One Health. And I'll let Jorge talk a little bit about One Health, but global health is really this idea that we're an internet community across this entire planet of ours, and that something that happens, you know, on a different continent is no longer something that's just happening on that continent. It doesn't take much for people to get on an airplane and have those same problems transmitted, whether they're infectious diseases or social issues. All of those things really bleed together. And so what global health is really about is trying to collaborate and find, hopefully, cost-efficient ways of addressing problems, and addressing problems that really have the opportunity to cross borders and have the most impact across multiple communities.
Yes, and I couldn't agree more with Jim, because all those global health issues can impact us locally. And we have seen through COVID that, you know, situations in different continents and different countries can be here in a matter of a few days or so. And so in global health, we are also introducing the concept of One Health. And the concept of One Health is that there are multiple disciplines that if they work together, they can really improve health in the environment, and humans and animals. And it's the interaction of all the disciplines together that we can use to solve important global health problems. So that concept has been around for a long time. It has some early roots in Wisconsin with Professor Aldo Leopold. And I think for us in UW-Madison, it's because as we were talking about the broad of work that we do in the university, we can really have really great leadership in many different disciplines that can impact global health.
Jim, what does the Global Health Institute have in common with this One Health?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's an interesting place we are in time because, you know, as I mentioned, we're a really unique campus that is fortunate to have all of these different disciplines. And one of the things I think we've all started to realize is that, you know, as we identify problems, there's a lot of complexity to the cause of those problems. And so you really need a lot of disciplines to come together to be able to address these and try to come up with solutions that are hopefully cost effective. And this One Health idea is really sort of taking this to a different level of really trying to bring together the human wellness, animal and environmental wellness in ways that then impact everybody equitably to make their lives better, but trying to really sort of figure out where are the intersections between these things, where they cross over, and how do we maintain wellness at those intersections? You know, so we certainly have to respect that there's domesticated and wild animals. How do we deal with the fact that humans need to and do regularly interact with them and monitor for diseases that may jump from one direction or to the other direction in a way that is cost-effective and safe, and that allows us to predict what might be happening. And so this One Health concept is really trying to take global health, but really drill into these intersections between these different entities.
Well, that makes total sense. I'm surprised it's not done more often. But we're talking about this symposium that you have coming up. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about it? First off, we haven't given the date yet.
Yeah, it's April 4th. It's going to be here at the Health Sciences Learning Center here on the health professional side of campus over in the medical school area. It's open to the public. We, you know, just ask people to go to the Global Health Institute website, and we'll make sure that Trina and the team post that so that people can register. It's going to be available both in person as well as in a hybrid online version for people that are still sort of more comfortable in those kinds of settings. And, you know, the idea, we've been having these, I think this is the 15th year, and so this has really, you know, sort of become an institutional showcase for our global health programs across campus. You know, it started out with the health professional students, but about 12 years ago, we really realized that we needed the whole campus to be involved in these things. And so it really gives us an opportunity to highlight a lot of the programs. You know, this year, as Jorge's first year as the director of the Global Health Institute, you know, he's obviously part of what we really want to highlight because he's really helping us sort of shift into this One Health focus, given his lifelong work in this field. And so it's a combination of introducing him to many people on campus, as well as the work that he's done, and then trying to get people together in a conversation of how do we start making these connections. And then there's, you know, a social period afterwards, there's food, there's music. So it's really a celebration of our global health programs across campus.
Now, the title of the symposium is One Planet, One Health. Why did you pick that?
Well, I think it's important to understand that we really have one planet, right? That's planet Earth, where we live. And the concept of One Health, as we were mentioning, is a concept that has been around for a while, but it's trying to bring how the One Health concept, it really works along with all the other concepts that we have mentioned in the past, that we talk about eco-health, planetarium health, and health alliance. But the One Health also is trying to maximize what we have at the University of Wisconsin that we can really solve global health issues. And it's also because, as you have seen with COVID, we're all connected. You know, what happens in different locations can be here next day or so. And this situations of epidemics or pandemics will continue to happen. You know, we have not done with COVID yet, but there's still issues that you see in other parts. You hear about highly pathogenic avian influenza, monkeypox, and so on. And there's a lot of neglected diseases. There's more than 1 billion people that lives in places with neglected diseases. So we have to bring all that to to the surface to try to find solutions. And more than that, we have climate change issues. You know, we lost that biodiversity. We have food, water, and energy insecurity in many places. Migration and conflict, just we see that constantly happening. And equality issues between, you know, our different communities and so on. So I think this One Health concept can bring us all together to find solutions from UW-Madison to global health problems.
Why don't you tell us who will be speaking and what they'll be speaking about, Jim?
Yeah, so obviously we've got the wonderful Jorge Osorio leading off and introducing this concept in a broader way. And you know, one of the things in the concept of this One Planet, One Health is also honoring, you know, our previous director, Jonathan Patz, who is a leader in climate change and environmental. And so this is sort of a bridge concept of One Planet, One Health. So Jorge will sort of lead us into the One Health concept. And then we've got a great panel of some really leading people across campus. So Lyric Bartholome is another person from the School of Veterinary Medicine who does some really remarkable work related to vector-borne disease. Claudia Calderon is from the Agriculture School and looks at food security. Ann Evanson is part of the Department of Family Medicine and has come up with some really unique ways to provide education for students in the field, working with colleagues in India, where they really have figured out a way to blend the care of animals and humans out in the field in emergency services. Giri Venkatramanaran is one of the hardest names to pronounce, but one of the nicest guys. And he's from the engineering school, but he works on microgrids and the availability of energy, especially to impoverished communities, in a way that really brings equity. And then Guillermo Tefera is a surgeon who is one of the leads of the American College of Surgeons, and they've developed training programs globally to develop surgical services.
Perfect timing. We're talking with Dr. James Conway, director of UW-Madison's Office of the Global Health at the School of Medicine and Public Health, and Dr. Jorge Osorio, the UW-Madison Global Health Institute director. And we're going to be writing into news, but we'll be right back. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-642-1234. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Jill Nadeau. We're talking about this year's Global Health Symposium, and the theme is One Planet, One Health. Our guests are Dr. Jorge Osorio and Dr. James Conway. Dr. Osorio is the UW-Madison Global Health Institute Director, and Dr. Conway is Director of UW-Madison's Office of Global Health at the School of Medicine and Public Health. How do you see global health concepts playing out in your community? What questions do you have about this whole concept of global health? And maybe you've attended the symposium before. Let us know what you thought. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's go directly to the phone. We have Art in Milwaukee who has a question. Hi, Art.
Hi. Well, I want to salute you for working on the issue of global health and cooperation. And specifically, I'd like to ask what, if anything, you might be doing or thinking of doing on collaboration with our neighbor Cuba, which has prioritized health work. They have medicines such as dealing with diabetes. It's very effective to prevent lower extremity amputations, which we can't get in the U.S. because of the U.S. continuing blockade. And I know there have been in the past from UW Medicine School delegations to Cuba, and I think Wisconsin College of Medicine just sent one as well.
Okay, who wants to tackle that one?
I could get started if you like. Okay. So, Art, thank you so much for your question, and I do agree of the tremendous amount of knowledge that the scientists and the medicine in Cuba has. You know, I have worked with Cuba very closely for my past 15 years because diseases like dengue, they are really an amazing group of leaders. I go to Cuba every other year or so to teach a course. The institute is called the Institute Pedro Curie, where they have a really incredible amount of scientists. So to go more to your point, I think what we're trying to do is create a network. A network that I see happening is the One Health Centers in different locations in the world. One health center is going to be located in Latin America. Now we started in Colombia, but it has really close connections with scientists from Cuba and different scientists in the whole region, and showing that we can actually work together to solve local issues and local problems. So we're working on all these issues together, and I think the scientists from Cuba, I work with them many, many times. They're a really amazing team as well.
Yeah, just to add on to that, I think you're getting at a really important point, both of you, which is, you know, there's a lot of information and a lot of real expertise all around the globe. And, you know, we've got to get over the idea that we've got the best answers and the best solutions. It's really about collaborative learning and trying to find as many groups and as many places that have looked at novel solutions. And, you know, as Jorge mentioned, this idea for the Global Health Institute to create these area centers around the globe to work with all of these types of collaborators is really to get at that, to harness the knowledge and experience they have, because a lot of those solutions really are going to be very applicable in developed countries as well as in low-resource countries. And you're right, you know, the UW and many other groups around Wisconsin have had longstanding relationships in Cuba. I think people are probably familiar with the Wisconsin Medical Project that for many years supported projects in Camagüey and now has expanded their scope as well across the globe. So there's certainly a lot of experience, and it doesn't really, you know, I think we've got to get away from the politics of all this and really just learn to work together and figure out ways to harness the knowledge that's out there.
You had mentioned these One Health centers. What actually happens at these places? Dr. Sari?
Great question. Yes, I was on mute. So the One Health Centers provides an opportunity to understand more about the local problems, what are happening in the local environment. How do we come up with solutions? How do we create capacity building so there's actually ways to prepare themselves in case of future outbreaks or future issues? How to solve problems that we can bring UW solutions? For example, some locations are really still, would you believe or not, they don't have clean water, okay? And there might be many ways for us to bring really easy systems to purify water that we have, that our professors, our great scientists have done. Same thing with discovery of new drugs and molecules that can help to prevent or treat many diseases that are tropically neglected diseases. So each center, so we have three centers at this moment, one in Colombia, but it's more a network of different locations. One in West Africa, in Sierra Leone, where, you know, it's a place where hemorrhagic fevers, we have Ebola and some other problems there as well. And we just had a really wonderful trip to India. We went early February where we're going to set up One Health Center in India. India is such an incredible place. It's one of the fifth largest economies in the world. It's close to being second to China in terms of world population, but soon to be the number one. But also a lot of innovation is happening in India as well. So we like to bring opportunities to our students, to our faculty, and also increase diversity, because we can have exchange of students and faculty and professors from all these locations. And I think that will benefit all of us at the end.
Great, thank you. We have a phone call from Ken in Dalyville, or is it Dalyville, Ken?
Hi, Jorge, this is Ken. I'm Kathy. I'm Coyote and Maya's dad, you know me.
Yes, of course, I do.
I'm really excited to hear about this new thing you're doing. And I just was going to say that it's super important for us to think about health globally, in terms of the globe and in terms of our country and in terms of our community, because anywhere we allow public health to be neglected, we create opportunities for diseases to get stronger and more dangerous when they're not being treated.
Totally agree with you, Ken. It's good to hear your voice. You know, so as you can see, we Dalyville is right next backyard to my house. That's where I am. And this is actually something that I want to bring up that is really unique in Wisconsin, our communities. You know, as you can tell from my accent, I was born in Colombia, you know, but I've been only by blessed to be part of the Mohorev community and the backdoor community in Delaville. You know, people from all different backgrounds accept us, you know, work together. We work really well with each other. So I'm glad you bring that up, because to me, this is a matter. Local communities are extremely important in this global picture. What happens in many places could affect you, will affect your backyard. Our farmers could be affected if their crops, you know, climate change, we don't have good crops or so, we have all different floodings and so on. So it's part of working together. And I think that's also my concept of One Health, working together in education, technology, you know, but also protecting the environment. That's very important for us.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate the call. We got an email from Morris in Mount Horeb. He says many global problems, including climate change, biodiversity crisis, the collapse of fisheries, water scarcity, soil erosion, etc., impact global health. And these problems result from the pursuit of infinite economic growth on a finite planet. More growth is touted as a cure for poverty and its attendant problems. How do you address these global health problems without more economic growth? Jim, you want to take that one?
Yeah, that's like asking me to also come up with a cure for cancer and world peace.
What's been taking you so long?
it is a great concept. And I think one of the things that people are starting to really realize is that global is local and vice versa. And so I think we really, as Jorge mentioned, need to think about these things as far as communities and sustainability. And I think there is real work going on and real integration going on here across the UW campus as people are thinking about exactly those kinds of large problems and trying to figure out how can you come up with local solutions where communities can be much more both self-aware but also self-productive in being able to manage their food sources, to be able to manage their local community wellness, whether it's the climate or whether it's the environmental side of it. And the communities are really the ones that need to be empowered to be able to take responsibility for those things. If every community has those tools and has the resources to do those things, we get to be a healthier and healthier planet. But it really does come down to this idea that all health is local. And really that is where a lot of our tasks at hand are really addressing. How do we then, on the ground level, provide that information, that education, and those skills and talents to the people in their own communities to be able to maintain that wellness that they all so desperately want to achieve?
Thank you.
Yeah,
Eric.
And I might want to add to Jim that, you know, great question. And University of Wisconsin is actually coming up with solutions to agricultural intensification. There are new methods that we're exploring of how to produce more food, but minimize the space, minimize the impact that might have in the environment. Same thing for animal protein, the need for animal protein. So I think that's where I think the University of Wisconsin can lead in many aspects and integrating all them together, because it's a very unique campus where we have many, many disciplines all together.
Great. Thank you so much, Morris. Appreciate that email. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or the email address is ideas@wpr.org. You kind of just alluded to some of the global health opportunities here at UW, but are there programs for students, and how can they get involved in that?
Yeah, global health has really become an overarching umbrella across a lot of the university activities. You know, we started almost 15 years ago with a global health certificate for all the health professional students. And the idea was to give students a lens at whatever their discipline was going to be at how that had a public health and a global impact. And that became so popular that then across campus, there's now an undergraduate certificate and now an undergraduate major in global health, which very quickly have become some of the most popular programs on campus. So one of the things that makes it easy to get up at in the morning is knowing that this next generation really gets it. I think that they've really, you know, grown up in an era of a deluge of information, but the way they've processed it is that it has clearly identified problems, and they've really identified that their generation is going to come up with workable solutions. And so what we've really tried to do across campus, and I think good universities constantly do this, is adapt to the needs and the interests of the students. So we have global health opportunities now that are abundant across the entire campus for undergrads, health professional students, postdocs, and really I think have started to make this part of the general conversation across every discipline and every school on this campus, very, very successfully, but it's all driven by student interest.
Yeah, I might comment on that too, Jim, because it's very impressive to see our students' response, especially through the pandemic, because honestly, we didn't have a pandemic, you know, and these young kids going through a pandemic, but all of a sudden, it really encouraged them to do better and to do more. And I've seen students that actually have taken, you know, that opportunity to accelerate and to do really well, to be out there and to understand that, you know, this pandemic's happening because of global health issues, and they are trying to come up with solutions. So many students from Wisconsin want to travel abroad, you know, different places to understand how things are happening there. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to open the door for them, but also how they embrace how things are being done in other places in the world, so we can be a better community as well. When we learn from each other, we can be a much better group.
Kind of joining with that, Miguel and Wanaki emailed that his daughter is a junior at UW-Madison, majoring in health promotion and health equity, and has taken courses in global health. But she feels like she's not gotten clear advice about what she can do for employment after graduation. Do you have any suggestions? Dads always want to know that.
Yeah, because that's paid the bills.
I mean, I think there's a couple of things to think about. You know, one is, I think what we've started to encourage students to really think about is, what is their passion? What area are they really most interested in? You know, I think people used to come to us and say, well, I want to go into global health, so I'm going to go into infectious diseases, because the concept was the global challenge was all about communicable diseases. And I think what we've started to realize as the world is more interconnected is that there's a need for every type of skill globally for people to improve systems and improve the wellness of communities. And so what we really try to encourage students to do is figure out what it is they're passionate about, and then we can figure out ways that they can harness that and put that into play in a global environment. I think that you want to make sure you're not letting the tail wag the dog and letting the global part be the dominating part of what you're thinking about. You really want to figure out what is it you're passionate about as far as your future career. There will always be a way of putting that into play in a global environment to help make this global wellness come to fruition that we're all dreaming about.
So she should have plenty of opportunities, Dad, so don't worry too much about her.
Yes.
Dr. Sario, you recently founded VaxThera, talking about vaccines. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us more about that company?
Oh, well, thank you. So, in fact, I'm in Colombia right now. So one of the things that really got me kind of upset with the pandemic, it was the lack of access to vaccines and biologicals for the developing countries. You know, we basically, I think many countries, developed countries, closed their borders, and there was no really access for many people for a long time to even a test, you know, to have access to a COVID test. It was like a nightmare to do that. So I, you know, later in my career, they say, well, I created vaccine companies before, and I made a dengue vaccine that is now being, you know, distributed in different parts of the world. And I feel like we need to create science and technology and provide local access at the regional level, okay? That we train scientists in those locations, because there are so many neglected problems that they don't have the interest of the big pharma and the big companies, okay? So by doing this, I really very happy that creating a network in the entire Latin American region of companies that are working together to solve local issues, to produce vaccines and biologicals, to produce products for different locations. And because these are tropical diseases, they really are present in Africa, in Asia, and other places. So I can see that could be a lot of potential. At the same time, can open doors for the University of Wisconsin, because we have a great institution called WARF, Wisconsin Alumni for Research Foundation, who is the leading institution in the world in terms of intellectual property. So we need to open the doors for our patents and our inventions and so on to really have a place in their world where they can make an impact and make a difference. So with that, that's going well. You know, I think in about next year, we're going to be producing about 100 million doses of vaccines that could really have an impact in the region. There's only 4 vaccine producers in the entire Latin American region with more than 650 million people living here. So I think there's desperate need for vaccines and products.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. Jim, what's UW doing to prepare for, you know, the next pandemic? How are they working on different kinds of things like that?
Yeah, that's exactly what the whole purpose of a lot of these conversations are, is, you know, really to recognize that, you know, in many ways, none of us want to go through this again. You know, as an infectious disease doctor, this is sort of my third or fourth pandemic, because I dealt with the early part of my career with the HIV pandemic. We had the influenza H1N1 pandemic in 2009. We almost had an Ebola pandemic, and now obviously this one. And so you get a little tired of you know, recreating the wheel. And I think one of the things we've all started to recognize is that we've really become a reactive society when it comes to these kinds of public health threats. And we really need to be much more proactive about these things. And so, you know, as Jorge has come in, you know, one of the ideas is really to create these global networks where we can do a lot more monitoring, and we can actually start modeling what are the potential threats that we need to think about, get better monitoring and surveillance for those, and actually be ready to much more rapidly turn around and respond. You know, in many ways, while the COVID pandemic obviously didn't go as well as people probably hope in retrospect, you know, in some ways, it's a miracle that we actually were able to get it under control and get vaccines out and make them available within a year. But even that, at some level, represents some element of delay. It took a while to figure it out. It took a while to get coordinated response. It took a while to get resources dedicated to coming up with these kinds of vaccines. And so one of the things we think University of Wisconsin can really lead on is setting an example of how do you coordinate and collaborate across the globe to be better at monitoring for these things, to be better at preparing for these things, and to more rapidly respond and be a leader in that. We're trying to work with the state in many ways to do that, and then national governments. And I think we've really got a path in front of us that has become much clearer thanks to the pandemic.
Yeah, so Jill, if I can add there.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned, right, if we are prepared or not. So I think we need to be better prepared. We are better than we were 2 years ago, but we are not there yet, okay? So we have firehouses that are there to prevent fires, right, in many different locations. I think we need in Wisconsin, and my concept is that the Global Health Institute should be the firehouse in global health for the University of Wisconsin and the state, that we really create active programs of preparation, that we, you know, these One Health Centers that we are there are going to tell us when things might be of concern for us. But at the same time, that we have to do a lot of work with the community, with industry, with the military, to really engage with them, you know, to really have communications. I think one of the major issues in the pandemic that we have seen is the misinformation, okay? And how this misinformation has prevailed and has gone to a point that vaccines are not accepted in some communities. There's a lot of mistrust for everything that we do, okay? So I think we really have to work a lot on the message. And I think having novel ideas and techniques that we can do from the university concept with the community, with the industry, with the academia, and so on, and the government, we really need to prepare ourselves better for the next pandemic.
Absolutely. And let's go back to the symposium there. We've got a minute or so to talk about it. So, Jim, in a nutshell, when, where, and how can people get more information?
Yeah, April 4th, 2023, a Tuesday night from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Health Sciences Learning Center. It'll be live in person, but also live streamed. If people go to ghi.wisc.edu, which is our Global Health Institute website, we've got all the information there. We do ask people to register, whether they're going to be there in person or online, just so we can get them streaming, but also make sure we have enough food and all those kinds of things. But 4:30 to 6:30, April 4th in the afternoon, lots of great speakers and lots of great networking opportunities.
Will these, the speakers' presentations, be available online afterwards?
We do plan on recording, and then depending on how the quality is, we usually do then have an ability to post those afterwards as well.
Okay, great. Thank you both.
I'd like to really encourage the community to attend, you know, the community to understand what we are doing at the university. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you both. We really appreciate you taking time out of your very busy days. Thanks again, and good luck with the symposium. We've been talking with Dr. Jorge Osorio, the UW-Madison Global Health Institute Director, and Dr. James Conway, Director of UW-Madison's Office of Global Health at the School of Medicine and Public Health. Join us tomorrow. Phil Pelletieri will be here to talk about prehistoric insects. I'm Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry Mueller. Stay well.
Bye.